Hello everyone, welcome to the No DQ Review, episode number 88, as we get closer to WrestleMania 36. Well, actually, WrestleMania 36 was apparently already taped yesterday and today, but it is scheduled to air just over a week from now. Let me introduce our moderator for tonight, Virtue. How's it going, man?
Hey, what's up, Aaron? Think about this, Aaron. We are talking this time of year of a taped WrestleMania. And people are probably out there looking for spoilers. What kind of world are we living in right now? That's nuts. But how's everybody doing? This is the No DQ Review number 88. I am Virtue, and I will go around the horn to kick it off. And Jeff, you're back. So I'm going to start with you. What's up, man?
Just another day here in not quite sunny and isolated Southern California. It's it feels like day 452. I feel like I'm in CM Punk's championship reign of the quarantine. It's been complete madness around here, but we're getting by. We're doing our thing, and I am glad to be home again here on NoDQ.com and doing the thing with the A-team, if you will.
That almost reminded me of The Rock when you did that. I'm glad to be home. Remember when The Rock did that against John Cena?
Yes, I do remember that, and it was completely unintentional, but I'll take it.
Robbie Vice, you're back.
I am back.
What's going on, man?
Hey, so if WrestleMania is taped and I can watch spoilers, that means coronavirus equals I don't have to sit through WrestleMania for 12 hours. I think that's the biggest face turn of the year. So I'm actually excited now about WrestleMania because as soon as we're done with this video, I'm going to try to find all the spoilers. And I'm just going to relax that Sunday, maybe have it on the background, but not have to drudge through a terrible 14-hour WrestleMania day. So I'm looking forward to whatever discussions we have today, and that just put me in a fantastic mood.
All righty. Well, thank you. Now, Aaron, spoilers here. If it's how can this get spoiled unless moles on the inside are leaking this? Any news on your front about this situation right now?
There is no news regarding spoilers, and I would be legitimately surprised if spoilers do come out. I think that, yes, it's possible somebody could leak something, but there's not that many people that are in attendance for these matches that are being taped, and if there are any spoilers out there, there's a good chance they're fake because it's going to be the word of one person, and anybody could say, oh, these are the spoilers, and they could sound convincing. Goldberg loses to Roman Reigns. Roman hits three spears to pin Goldberg. You're like, that sounds legitimate. Doesn't mean it is. Now, we do have a few super chats here. The first super chat of this live stream. I'm not sure what this says about how this video is going down today, but COVID-19 has sent in a $2 super chat. What you gonna do when coronavirus runs wild on you, brother?
We're all gonna die.
Let's see. According to the U.S. statistics, 98.5% of us will easily beat it and pass through it. So I know there's still a small chance of people that this could affect and cause them to die. So this sucks, but let's hope.
It's still millions of deaths. 1.2% of a population is a pretty significant number.
I love how the number is almost accurate, almost identical to. Oh, go ahead, Virgil. I'm sorry.
That's assuming everybody gets it, Robbie.
Sure.
Yeah. I love how that percentage is almost exactly identical to the number of the temperature we're supposed to be to not have a fever. Just pointed it out.
Now, we do have a $2 super chat from TJS, who is in the chat room participating tonight. Thank you, Tyler.
Apologize? Is it an apology?
He says, where is TJS?
Oh, I haven't gotten any apologies on my inbox at nodqvirtue@gmail.com. So I don't know where he is. What's next? You want me to kick off the show?
Yeah, let's talk about some wrestling and not coronavirus.
So you started talking about WrestleMania, which, you know, this wrestling stuff is affected by this quarantine, this coronavirus. WrestleMania was taped. They did it in 2 days. You know, spoilers, will they? I hope they don't leak, because if we do watch this, I don't want to know what's going to happen. But Aaron, what's your thoughts of this 2 day Mania that they're airing now, and the fact that did they originally plan on having these WrestleManias, these past ones, air on ESPN, or did this just come about recently?
So this was recent because ESPN, they have no sports to air. They need programming. So I guess a deal was reached with WWE to air some of those WrestleManias, and it's good for WWE, gives WWE some some eyeballs, potentially new fans tuning in and maybe becoming fans. Although you see those WrestleManias, to me, it's actually depressing to watch those WrestleManias and feel like we're not going to get that this year. So why even bother? Now, we have a $2 super chat from Psycho Jet Black, and he has a question for good old JM. He says, JM, who do you hate more, Goldberg or Brock Lesnar?
Goldberg,
yep. Yeah.
Not even a hesitation. Right. I don't hate Brock Lesnar. I dislike the I don't anymore. I did dislike the whole part-time thing, but you know what? Being a Hulkamaniac all those years, he was a part-time champion too. Goldberg is dangerous. He's sloppy. He's out of place. He has no business in this business, period.
Yep. Couldn't say better myself.
Ask Bret Hart.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Jeff,
now, granted, Bret Hart's got a skewed view of that.
Are you implying he's a little bit better?
No. What I'm saying is his whole life post 1997 has been one shitstorm after another. Let's keep that in mind also. So.
That's true.
And that's the truth. But, Jeff, what's your thoughts here on this two-day mania? That we got to watch it two nights in a row. The magic of it is gone without the live crowd and the fact that it's happening as we watch it. So what's your take on this two-day mania thing?
Yeah, I would have been for it anyway because there was talk, and it was small talk. It was a smattering, if you will, after New Japan did their two-day Tokyo Dome event, and there was talk about having WrestleMania become a two-day event. I think Aaron and I talked about it when he was here in February, before this whole Corona stuff hit the fan. We were talking about, you know, if they do two-day WrestleMania, it's going to be the busiest 2 days in no DQ history because it was just going to be that much traffic, that much stuff to cover. So I don't mind it so much. I do mind that they're taping it, but knowing what we know as far as the limitations that the state of Florida is imposing on them, I totally understand why they did it. So I'm not mad about that. I am disappointed we have to have a taped no crowd mania. That does suck. On a fan level, that sucks.
Yeah, and you know, it is what it is. Robbie, what do you think? Because you're the one, you told me you want nothing to do with these empty arena shows. So are you not going to watch WrestleMania?
I have to walk that back a bit. Okay. Because while I have not been watching Raw or SmackDown live, I've been watching the No DQ. I've been watching Aaron Rift after every single Raw and SmackDown. Okay. And then I usually watch like YouTube videos or whatever, and I read the results. I just don't waste my time with it anymore. It's 5 hours of my life that I get back, and it's great. I've been playing Animal Crossing, actually. It's a game about nothing. It's kind of like Seinfeld. But I don't know, man. I think it could be interesting. I think the fact that it's not live is going to take it down. I was trying to think of ways that I would enjoy it. I think the only really thing I would enjoy could be like if we did a live, like a 4-person live stream of our reactions live through WrestleMania. I think that could be fun and make it interesting for me. But as of right now, I might watch it casually, have it on in the background. I don't know, man. If it was live, I wouldn't mind WrestleMania being 2 days. But 2 days of just sitting in front of it with a bland, boring audience without a bunch of friends to talk to because we're all in lockdown. I don't know, man.
Well, this brings me to another point about WrestleMania. Like, I really think that, and again, this all happened so fast. The ball was dropped by not putting this, like, on Fox or ESPN. Because, I mean, granted, they're giving the network away for free. They've always had, and Robbie dumped out for a second there, right? So we'll have to. Jeff, I want to go to you on this one. Free network access. I feel like they don't give long-term subscribers anything. It's always as if you're new. And I get that, right? I get how businesses work. But now they're offering it free if you don't subscribe. Is that what the current plan is? And then who's going to pay $60 for a pay-per-view, because they're still offering it on pay-per-view? What's going on with
WrestleMania? Wait, they're doing it $60 for a pre-taped WrestleMania?
But I mean, I heard,
yeah, you know,
pay-per-view. What's your thoughts here with this free network and the whole deal with pay-per-view?
Yeah, I wish I've been saying since launch day, because, you know, from Jump Street with this network, they talked about, you know, after the first one, you know, your first month is free. It's like, where was my first free month, assholes? You know, where was my first, you know, where was my perk? I've been a long-term, you know, day one subscriber for all, you know, it's 6 years this month or last month. So where was my little, you know, bump up in perks? And I've got none of that shit. So I have a real problem with them offering stuff for free at this point. Now, I get that they're trying to, you know, smooth over on a PR level, but you know what? You're totally 100% right, Virtue. They missed the ball completely by not saying, hey, Fox, you want a piece of the Mania action. Hey, ESPN, you want a piece of the Mania action. And people were so bad of shape when people were talking about, you know, well, I don't want to, you know, watch, you know, have to pay to watch WrestleMania on ESPN. Well, you'd be killing yourselves right now to watch Mania on ESPN live now, wouldn't you, folks? So
especially with no sports airing. Like, you'd think that these right. networks would be scrambling to pay them to view it. Aaron, what do you think on all this?
I'm totally with Jeff. I'm frustrated because I've been a network subscriber since the beginning. Now, the first year they did offer some freebies to loyal subscribers. They did offer like WWE shop credits so you could get some free merchandise off of WWEshop.com. But that was like 1 year into it. They haven't done jack in a good 4 years or so. So I kind of feel ripped off being a long time subscriber. Like, where's the love for the loyal subscribers that have been with the network since day one and never canceled? I never canceled, but then again, it's my job, of course. So of course I'm going to have the network no matter what. We do have a few super chats here. Let me get to these real quick. TR Sega with a 200, I believe, yen. I never know what the Y symbol is. He says, will WWE cut wrestlers' pay because of the 2 day Mania? That's a good question. I would think that the wrestlers will be paid whatever they were going to be paid at Tampa regardless. I hope they don't get a pay cut. That would really suck, and it's not right to punish the wrestlers for something that's out of their control. Now, according to Braun Strowman, and we'll talk to him later, apparently Strowman's not getting paid when he's not working. So who knows what the situation is, and who knows if what Strowman is saying is accurate or not. But we'll talk more about Strowman in a few minutes here. And OG85 with a $2 super chat says, do you think WrestleMania 36 will have some big, memorable moments? We did have somebody in the chat room earlier mention that Drew McIntyre might not win the title and Roman Reigns might not win the title. And I could see WWE maybe changing some of the finishes and not going with big title changes because of the circumstances. And that person also mentioned maybe they'll wait until WWE can do a show with a live crowd before having Drew McIntyre win the title. So would not shock me if Brock retains. Honestly, it would not shock me if Goldberg retains and WWE just waits until things get back to normal to do those title changes. And we do have a $5 super chat from Big G. He says, just wanted to give a shout out to my boys, Aaron, Virtue, Jeff, and Robbie. Thank you for that, Big G.
Big G?
Mike D just sent in a super chat, so we'll do his and then we'll let Robbie talk for a bit. Mike D with a $5 super chat. He says, did you see WrestleVotes tweet before? Very interesting. Yeah, WrestleVotes did the eye emoji, which is supposed to be like something shocking. And according to WrestleVotes, that person has some inside information but isn't going to give it out. So who knows? I mean, there's always a possibility WrestleMania spoilers will come out, but you'll never know if they're legitimate or not because anybody could make up spoilers and nobody's there in the building to, at least fans are not there to confirm or deny any of these so-called spoilers. But anyways, Robbie, let's get to your thoughts on the network and what's going on with that and what we talked about with possible title changes, or will WWE do anything major with WrestleMania?
They don't have to. This is already the most memorable WrestleMania in modern history because of the circumstances. This will always be looked back as the WrestleMania that was done with no fans. And like I said, they're already going to be making behind a Titantron or whatever the hell they actually show of their struggles and how Vince did all this charity work during coronavirus and how all the wrestlers came together to overcome this great thing to put on a show for people at home that needed entertained. You know what I mean? Like that's where it's going. Exactly. Yep. Yeah. If they don't have arms like Hulk Hogan from patting themselves on the back, I don't know what they have. As for not getting the network for free, I don't care. I've worked in cellular most of my life. I deal with basically large businesses now. But if you're a new customer to a cell phone company, you're going to get a lot of perks, a lot of benefits. If we already have you, we don't care about you. And we hope you leave to come back later as a new activation. So I think the network's kind of like that.
All right, OG85 has a $2 super chat, says maybe WWE will have a WrestleMania-like show in Saudi Arabia. Well, I think that all depends.
They already do.
Yeah, pretty much. Every show they've done is WrestleMania-like. Yeah. I think that we might not get another Saudi Arabia show until the end of the year. I don't even think one was scheduled, but I think it's unlikely they do one like in May or June as they did last year and the year before. Oh, and Nelson Moreno also sent in a $2 super chat. Thank you guys for the super chats. He says, will there be day one and day two WrestleMania no DQ reviews? And I will be doing my live streaming recap each night. We are going to do one video, though, for the predictions. Although if they do announce different night lineups, maybe we could separate the videos. We'll have to wait and see how things go. But if they don't do that and they don't tell us what's on which night by Tuesday, we're just going to do everything Tuesday at 7 Eastern. Oh, we got a $10 super chat from Jordan Smith. Jordan Smith, thank you very much. He says, any idea how long WrestleMania will be each night? 3 hours each night with no kickoff shows. Also at a loss for words after seeing part two of the Chris Benoit tragedy on Vice. Virtua, I do believe we're going to be talking about that in just a minute here. With eight, I think it's going to be eight matches per night. That's what I've heard, which would be, you know, 3 to 4 hour show. And I think to go off of what was said earlier, if this goes over well and it gets good feedback from fans, I could see WWE making WrestleMania a permanent two-night event. I think it's better anyways. I would much prefer that. Virtue, anything else you want to add before we move to the next topic?
No, like, we just probably have to cancel our subscription and use a different email and maybe a different credit card. That's how we get our free perks.
Real quick, though, the two-day thing opens up something I think is important to note, is that that gives each brand's champion their respective curtain call of the show. So then we don't have people bitching about the Raw title or the SmackDown title. I guess whoever goes on Sunday night will be considered the more important act, right? But at least the end of every show could be closed out with that brand's top angle. I guess that's something to take away from
it. I'm really surprised they just didn't do one night of Mania, just make it, you know, however long they want to, but do an NXT Saturday night. Like, that was kind of strange. But anyway, I digress. Let's talk about the Benoit documentary on Vice. Man, I know, Robbie, you didn't watch it, but that's okay.
I haven't watched it yet.
You got to watch it. I finally watched it today. And look, I knew. I've studied this. I've listened to the wrestler's interviews.
Yep.
He did an unspeakable, heinous crime. But the fact is, they did do tests on his brain. He had CTE. He was known to have testosterone. You will never know if he was capable of murdering somebody 5, 10, 20 years prior to this, during his whole life. The fact that he did it when he did it, but I still can't not respect what he did in the ring because of this tragedy, knowing that he had these brain issues that most likely caused him to do what he did. And that's where the people that want nothing to do with him can't separate that. Look, if he didn't have these so-called brain issues that were tested on autopsy, Chris Nowinski, he had a team. They did a lot of stuff that proved this. I would say, God, I can't even remember his career now. It was just sick what he did. This is just the most diverse or polar end. Like, I don't know what's – I want to know what our team right here is on, because this is controversial. I personally want to remember Benoit's in-ring career. But I stop at everything he did that fateful night, because that's just, it's nuts. Robbie, I'll start with you on this. I know you didn't watch a documentary, but I know you know.
I've watched great, so many hours of people talking about it.
Yes.
I've seen this, you know, since it happened, because I was probably 16 when it happened. I was pretty influential. You know, I agree with you, Virtue. I do not think Chris Benoit should be blackballed for his past accomplishments. And I'll tell you why. If we judged every professional wrestler on the worst day of their life, now I'm not going to say that his wasn't any worse than other people. Hogan being the terrible racist and backstabbing, terrible, awful human being. Okay. We let him get away with that. We let, you know, Macho Man with his indiscretions. There's been a lot of Jake the Snake Roberts. I mean, come on, people. There's a lot of wrestlers who have had the worst day of their life and done things unspeakable that most people in society would never speak to them again. But we give them another chance. This guy had the brain of an 85-year-old man because of the trauma that he inflicted doing his career. And we didn't know any better. And I could tell you that that was the reason for it, because since then, things have changed dramatically. We don't have the headshots anymore. We have a lot of the altered moves. They take concussions seriously now. They definitely did not back in the Monday Night Wars and you know, even back when the ECW and things that Benoit was doing. So no, that one moment does not define who Chris Benoit was. It just defined how he died, and I think it was a direct result of his job, his career entertaining people. I can hate what he did, but you cannot tell me that that triple threat match he was in, some of the ladder matches that he was in, some of the even the WCW stuff with Eddie Guerrero, those were some of the greatest matches of all time. And I don't care what people say, that has to stand on its own legacy.
Yep. Great points. Now, Jeff, like this documentary stuff, I want more of these. Like I watched who is the guy? It was like the first one they did. Bruiser Brody. I watched that.
Yeah.
I think they taped something for Dino Bravo, or they're going to. I'd love to see.
I want
to see these things because we're in the reality world now of knowing the, you know, it's not just a show to us or a performance. We know that these wrestlers are real people, and the reality television started in the 90s. Here we are. Jeff, what's your take on this documentary? God, the Eddie relationship. Like, I always knew they were best buds. Like, listening to all these people say, like, Jericho, Vicky, Chavo, like, wow. I think part of that put Benoit into a deep depression, and that didn't help matters, what might have already been wrong with his brain.
Yeah. I think it's safe to say that nobody's podcasting career is more closely related to Chris Benoit's story than mine, because I remember Talk Wrestling's first episode a 13-year odyssey for me as well, and going back and watching all these. I know I'm phrasing again on a stupid camera. I'm going back and, you know, doing these, you know, watching these videos and watching this documentary. I am just I made the mistake of watching them in the middle of the night, which was wrong idea, horrible idea. Don't ever do that to yourself. I knew how close Chris and Eddie were. I didn't know it was that close. Like you said, Virtue, it was gut wrenching to Vicky's reaction to Chris's passing. Just completely wrecked the hell out of me. It was awful. There was a point made earlier that, you know, we know a lot more now than we did 13 years ago, and that is very true. And, you know, in the moment I taped Talk Wrestling, Dr. Nowinski had not had Chris's brain scanned, and we didn't know what we know today. And I think that had we been more armed with information back then, we would have not been so quick to condemn people that came out and, you know, spoke out against the business, like Mark Merrill, like Deborah Marshall, like those folks. They were as misinformed as the rest of us. They were just grasping at something to cling to for answers, I guess, in their own state of mind, their own frame of mind. It's horrible. And the show's called Dark Side of the Ring. That is probably the darkest chapter in our business's history. I can't think of an argument against it. Somebody, I think it was you, Virtue, mentioned Dino Bravo. I cannot wait to see the Dino Bravo story, because what you've read over the last 25 years or 27 years is just unbelievable what happened to him. And I also am curious why our fearless leader wasn't asked about Herb Abrams' story.
Yeah, I wasn't. I am looking forward to that.
I find that very amusing, you know. So,
yeah, I never got contacted, and my dad did work for Herb Abrams, but that's going to be an interesting one for sure.
Want to see Herb's story, because we know all about Herb's story.
Yeah, for those of you that don't know, Herb Abrams ran the Universal Wrestling Federation in the early 90s, and the guy, let's just say, any money he got basically went up his nose, and I'll leave it at that. Now,
he was a very interesting personality, for sure.
Yeah.
Thank you for that input, Jeff. Now, Aaron, on to you about this documentary here.
All right, so we do have a few super chats here to get through. First of all, COVID-19 is back, says Chris Benoit is a good man. And Ken Terminated by Google says COVID is Mo Camera. Would not shock me. Notice COVID-19 and Mo Camera are not at the same place at the same time. And Ken Terminated by Google sent in a $5 super chat. Thank you, Ken. He says, the most underrated moment of part two is the footage of young Daniel shaving. It was funny but sad. Am I alone on this? It was sad.
That was pretty cute.
It was cute, but at the same time, just incredibly depressing to watch. And like I said, that episode was extremely well done. All of them have been well done. And I'm looking forward to what is to come with Dark Side of the Ring. This is going to be an interesting season. Again, if you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it. I recommend checking out all of the episodes. Now, as far as my thoughts on Benoit, I'll just sum it up as this. I think WWE should at least show him in footage. Like when Randy Orton won the world title, just show Benoit in the clip. It's not gonna traumatize anybody. You don't have to put the guy in the Hall of Fame, and I don't think he should go into the Hall of Fame, but you could show a Chris Benoit match every now and then. You could replay.
Did they remove the main event from 20 on the network completely?
No, it's still there. It's still there.
It's still on there, but when WWE does the video packages, they could show Orton pinning Chris Benoit. You don't need to just act like Randy Orton found the title in the ring and held it up totally random or whatever. So that's my take on it. We got the Owen Hart story coming up, as Curtis Butler mentioned.
Somebody in the chat room mentioned, I think it was on the screen, Brett got a picture. He wasn't mentioned once in the entire, whatever it was, 2 or 4 hour, whatever it was, Benoit story. I found that very bullshitty. The fact that Brett wasn't mentioned once, but maybe they're saving him for Owen is why.
Yeah, they could be. They have a lot of things they have to edit into their shows too. So who knows why they do what they do, but they do a good job.
From what Daniel Benoit said, the report I read on the site, Aaron, was that David. Wow. Was asked who he wanted involved, and he mentioned Jericho and Chavo and Vicky and Nancy's sister, which I found that so heartwarming that Nancy's sister and David were able to come together after all those years. That made me cry happy tears.
that was as much of a positive ending as you were going to get to that documentary. Now, I did have a question here from somebody regarding what were some good episodes to watch. The Bruiser Brody one I really liked. I liked the Randy Savage and Elizabeth one. And Virtue, any of them that you would recommend that you really enjoyed?
The ones you just did so far. I actually have to watch the couple other ones they did. But I'm looking
Montreal Screwjob was good.
The one about Montreal was good. The one about Gino Hernandez was, I didn't know a lot of that stuff. That was pretty interesting.
The Dino Bravo one. I'm waiting for that one.
I cannot wait for the Dino Bravo one. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, crazy.
Yes.
Well, all right. Good discussion on that. So what do you think, NoDQ Galaxy? I mean, you vote. What do we vote on Benoit every year? Is he in the NoDQ Hall of Fame?
No.
Or not
yet? He actually wasn't in the category last year, was he?
No.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's for the first time.
It is what it is. And, like I said, his brain was messed up, people. That's a fact at this point. So let's talk about Braun Strowman and the backlash from indie wrestlers. He went out and said to indie wrestlers, quit e-begging for money. Quit putting up GoFundMes because you can't work. If you can't make it in the business, quit. Go get a real job. Now, of course, Braun Strowman really didn't do much. I mean, he could have said he got in his car and went to Florida. Dude, he had a one-way ticket to the Performance Center. I don't remember Braun working indies and doing all this stuff. Why? Because of his size. So, Braun, it was easier for you. I think indie wrestlers should do whatever they need to. Look, the wrestling business is a carnival business. You pedal down the midway. You put the chalk mark on their back. And as they walk down, you try to sell them stuff. That's how it's done. Your fans don't have to buy what they don't want to buy. So any indie wrestlers that are trying to make a living, by any means necessary, I'm fine with it. Strowman's just using his WWE bully ways because he has it made. I want to know everybody's thoughts on this. Aaron, go.
I think Strowman made a mistake doing that because I think it's just going to make people feel negative thoughts towards him. It might not hurt him long term. People might end up forgetting about it, but it kind of feels like what Seth Rollins was doing last year. Rollins was sending all these tweets and people were starting to go sour on Rollins, although he did turn heel and is kind of making the most of it. Strowman, though, like, he's not even in Rollins' position. Strowman is basically a mid-carder now. And yeah, like you said, Virtue, it's the size that got him noticed by WWE. He did not have to grind on the indies like a lot of these guys to make it. Jake Lee Carpenter sent in a $2 super chat, says, hope you are all saving, or I hope you are all staying safe. Braun is boring now. Yeah, WWE just dropped the ball with Strowman. But yeah, if Strowman was doing more, then I would say that, you know, maybe that could be to his advantage, you know, give him some attention like with Rollins. But since he's kind of just in the mid card and not doing much of anything, like, I think doing this might just do more damage than if he was actually a top tier guy. Because if he was top tier, then WWE would be like, okay, we're just going to try to overlook this. But since he is not a focal point right now, WWE could be, well, you're making the company look bad by saying this, so we're just not going to use you for a while. So I think Strowman's maybe gonna regret those comments, and he hasn't deleted them yet. So yeah, I don't know what else to say about that one. Robbie, what do you think?
Yeah, who cares? Braun Strowman, he's just a big dude. His dad was a pro ball player. You know what I mean? He kind of grew up around that lifestyle. I think, if anything, I don't even know if Braun Strowman really believes what he said. Because at the end of the day, you're right. He's just a mid-carder. How do you get back to the main event? Vince McMahon. This sounds like it was made exclusively for an audience of one. This sounds like something Vince McMahon would love to read and laugh and be like, hey, pal, those indie guys suck, right? Ha, ha, ha. And then run back up to his office and shut the door and yell at people and fire him for sneezing. I don't know, man. This just sounds like pandering to Vince McMahon, and I think he's doing the right thing. If that's what's going to get him to actually go over in pay-per-views, then sure, why not? But I don't put too much stock in it because he's just a big idiot, and I know, who cares?
There you go, the remarkable Robbie Weiss. Jeff, right now, Strowman's highlight of his career is winning the tag title with Nicholas at WrestleMania. Oh, wait, yes. That's the highlight. I mean,
yeah, somebody in the chat room asked if we agree that he's a failed experiment. Well, there's no question. He's definitely one of the more recent colossal screw up. He's Ryback, but at least he's got, at least up until these little comments came out, at least he's got enough tact to not be a dick about stuff going forward. Ryback just keeps shooting himself in the foot every 5 minutes with these stupid posts he makes. So, Braun, I like Braun. I liked Braun with the Wyatts. I like Braun as the character's being presented. But the way they're booking him, the way they've presented him since he broke away, since he fell out of the quote-unquote main event picture, has been just one big giant train wreck. And the fact of the matter is, the whole point that I saw of that feud with Sammy and Cesaro and Shinsuke against him was supposed to be Sammy getting his comeuppance. And instead, Sammy pins him middle of the ring after the handicap match. It was like, who, you know, a classic present teaser, who booked this shit? It's just bad. So I get that Vince is high on the guy, but if you're high on the guy, don't have, you know, the Ginger Ninja beat you. That's terrible.
Right.
So now, I don't know what they've done with him.
TR Sega with a 200, is it yen? I keep asking the question every time. A 200 something. Does Braun Strowman realize he's an independent contractor? Virtue, your thoughts.
Okay.
I don't know. Did he say independent contractor in one of his tweets? Because remember, or something, or Instagrams, because he said he wasn't getting paid right now? Or
not getting paid, but I mean, wrestlers have downside guarantees. So if they don't work, they still get paid their downside. I don't understand that comment. Yeah. That was weird to me.
He's taking a shot at the indies for some reason. Unless, I mean, he here's the deal. He knows if he was gone from WWE, AEW would take him, because look what they are doing right now. There are certain people that don't want old WWE wrestlers to come in. That's the way the business has always worked. And we're going to talk about Brody Lee soon, because in some instances, it can be great TV if you pluck somebody over and let them say certain things. So maybe Braun's just positioning himself to be, you know, to get attention over in AEW, to be a heel. So he's starting this by pissing indie guys off that, I mean, who knows? We'll have to see what happens here. But he's still employed by WWE as we speak.
All right. Now, Ken Terminated by Google just sent in a $5 super chat. Thank you for that, Ken. He says, did you guys remember when TJS saw Strowman as the next Hogan by his following? just like Goldberg and Reigns. I am just indifferent with Strowman. I felt Strowman had potential to be WWE's top guy. I think we all did. But once Strowman lost to Brock, it was like when Ryback lost to CM Punk in Hell in a Cell. It basically, it stalled the momentum of Strowman. Maybe he could have recovered from it, but then he had that match with Nicholas, as Virtue mentioned, and doing all these stupid things. And yeah, I don't know. Yeah, as Bruce points out, Braun just signed this big contract. So even if the guy wasn't getting paid, like if WWE decided to freeze payments because guys are not working due to the coronavirus, like Strowman's got to be extremely well off. Like this guy's not struggling for money, and he's not going to be anytime soon. You know, this guy could probably take a year off and it would be a tiny dent in his bank account. But anyways, Virtue, go ahead.
Well, let's move on to Brody Lee, the exalted one. So, like, dude, I love that segment on Dynamite because he dressed in the blue Vince McMahon suit. He was eating a steak dinner like Vince McMahon would. And somebody sneezed in his presence, and he said that's a sign of weakness, more or less. And if this exalted one, which we made fun of the Dark Order, I don't even think of this as the Dark Order. I just think of it as the exalted one, Brody Lee, formerly known as Luke Harper. If this turns into his gimmick is literally a parody of Vince McMahon, I want more of this. So I want everybody's take here on the exalted one, because he's set a handful of shots now about Vince McMahon and the fact that WWE didn't believe in him, right? He was just part of the Wyatt family. He was part of the Bludgeon Brothers. Nothing really happened with Luke Harper. I like that AEW give their guys creative freedom to say whatever they want. And I like the fact he came from WWE and he's taking subtle shots at McMahon. And people like Kayfabe Candy ask, oh, I hate the insider stuff. Nobody knows that. Dude, the insider stuff's been cool for years. Everybody knows it. Jeff, what's your thoughts here on Brody Lee, the exalted one?
I think it makes it important
to me. Because I like
Brody Lee. I thought it was funnier than hell. I thought it was tremendously understated. As is Brody Lee's talent overall. I think, like you said, Brody's been, you know, part of the group rather than the focal point for the majority of his mainstream career, and he really shined last night on TNT. He really took it to another level. And yeah, it's making fun of Vince, you gotta believe, but it was still, you know, one of those things, you know, you're not supposed to know this, but you know it. Again, you know, some people shit on that, some people don't. It's fine. But I thought it was great. I can't wait to see what he does next. I hope the end of the quarantine stuff does not end his push toward the moon.
Gotcha. Now, Aaron, what do you think about this? Brody Lee, the Vince McMahon, hidden gems that we're getting out of this. I've seen several so far.
Yeah, I've really been enjoying Brody Lee and AEW so far these past 2 weeks. We do have a $2 super chat from Jake Le Carpenter. He says, AEW is killing it. It's must-watch TV. Especially when we had the crowd. AEW shows were really solid. This week, I don't think it was quite must-watch from start to finish, but there were a couple of really great segments. And I would include Brody Lee's debut and his Vince McMahon spoof in that, as far as segments you should check out. Now, regarding people criticizing this, you know, saying AEW's just taking shots at WWE and that's all they're doing, like, to me this was fine because a lot of people didn't even know it was a shot at Vince, unless you're somebody who knows the story and you're in with the podcasts and the talk about Vince not liking sneezing. You might have just seen that as a coronavirus reference. It wasn't like it was a direct jab at Vince. It was very subtle. So I liked it a lot. The people that get it, they think it's really cool. And other people will see Brody Lee is just a guy who's power hungry, who's dictating things, and it adds to the character. So I thought it was great. I liked it. And you know, I'm curious to see what they do next with him. I think so far they're on the right track with Brody Lee, and creatively he's able to do some different things. And he's already talked more, I think, in the past week or two than he has like the last several years of his WWE run. To me, that's insane that he's finally getting a chance to talk and just do his thing. You know, he's had to be like building it up over the years, you know, been wanting to say something, been wanting to vent, and now he's finally getting that chance, which I think is really awesome. Psycho Jet Black sent in a $2 super chat, says, is the Corpus Christi crowd better than no crowd at all? Keep in mind, they were really good for Dynamite, so maybe it's just WWE. But anyways, that's my take on Brody Lee at this point.
All right. Well, thank you, Aaron. Robbie, what do you think?
It was fine. I mean, the Vince stuff is good for this week. I don't know how much longevity that'll have in the long run. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm a big fan of Brody Lee, Luke Harper, whatever you want to call him. I think the Dark Order sucks. I think the gimmicks just played out. I think it's stupid. I think Evil Uno's stupid. I think his interactions on Twitter, I don't like it. I don't want him to have anything to do with it. I want him to kick everyone else in the Dark Order out and actually recruit like real wrestlers and people that I can believe that would be in a faction and dangerous, not someone that looks like me that put on an S&M mask.
Maybe because he's being Vince McMahon, that's where this is going to go.
Yeah, I mean, it might.
I'd love that. That'd be great.
I love the guy. It's like the opposite of WWE. It's where I love the character WWE. Actually, no, it's the same. Love the guy. I hate the character. I just, the Exalted One stuff, I think it's interesting. I was entertained with this segment. I don't know how much longevity it has with the Dark Order. I still don't want to see the Dark Order in any capacity on my TV.
Okay. Well, there you have it from the remarkable Robbie Weiss. Smartest guy in the room. Most all right. Well, speaking of Dynamite, so like I always do, you know, I can't go through a day without getting people pissed on Twitter. I absolutely love it. By the way, follow me at @NoDQ_Virtue. So as
if you dare
aired last night, and we got to see the Broken Universe with Vanguard, Jericho cutting a promo on Vanguard One, the whole teleporting with the, you know, cheesy editing look. For the people that say this sucks or it's past its prime, that's because all you want is wrestling, a winner and a loser. That's all you want is that thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. You're a small percentage. That's why wrestling audiences are shrinking. But the things like Matt Hardy, TNA didn't have traction. They were already kind of dead in the water when that broke. They couldn't spread that to the masses. WWE, Vince McMahon wanted nothing to do with that because he didn't understand it. So that's why the Broken Universe isn't bigger than it is. But people get it. And casual fans would be like, what the hell is this? This is something like out of sci-fi. It's cool. Drones are a thing these days, right? Vanguard One's a character. People like this stuff. And so I'm glad AEW is doing it. No, it's not past its expiration date. No, it's not old. Matt Hardy never has had this chance to put it on a big stage because WWE basically nixed it and bastardized it. TNA was too small. So I love the fact. And if Jericho's doing it, if Jericho thought something was shitty, he would say, no, we can't do this, Matt. But Jericho's doing it. So this is brilliant, broken brilliance. I love it. This is Shakespearean. So Jeff, what's your thoughts here? I absolutely love the Broken Universe. And I don't want to see it drug down into the ground forever, but I feel that it needs to happen one more time, and AEW is the perfect place for it.
Well, let me say, first of all, thank you for the shout-out, Ken Terminator by Google. I appreciate that. Aaron will do the whole thing in a minute, sure, because that's his gig. I loved every part of Dynamite in general. I thought the whole show was great last night. I think I haven't watched NXT yet. Let me just state that to the record. I've not seen all of NXT because stuff got in the way. Last night I was busy. We had a YouTube TV problem last night, actually, here at the house. I loved the segment with Matt and Chris. I think, again, both those guys, just when you think that both Chris Jericho and Matt Hardy are hitting the point of irrelevancy, last night happens. And it's like these guys are just tearing it up. Matt's broken brilliance is brilliant. I think it's a really, really underdeveloped character in WWE, and I hope that I almost said Impact. I hope AEW allows him to take it further than even Impact did when they did. I think Jeff crossing over, if he does, will be awesome for him too. We'll see if he stays in WWE long term. Doubt it, but we'll see. And Jericho's Jericho. Jericho, people, you know, you're either going to crap on Chris Jericho or you're going to love on Chris Jericho. There's not a whole lot of wiggle room there, unfortunately. And I love every bit of Chris Jericho's presentation. I have been a fan of his entire career. And he's a first ballot Hall of Famer in any company he works for. So, you know, they're both great.
And, you know, people that are saying Matt Hardy's over the top with this and the chomping of the teeth and the dude, what the heck was the Ultimate Warrior in the late 80s, early 90s? He was like crazy, just like Matt Hardy. And Warrior, for a short period of time, drew Vince McMahon money enough to where they put the title on him over Hogan. Yeah, he had some issues in real life, and especially with Vince McMahon and hot holding checkbooks hostage. But kookiness in wrestling is needed. It's good. Does it have to be the whole show? No. Robbie Vice.
It was great. It was the best part of the show. I don't know. I think it's Damascus is what he's calling the entity that resides in him now, is the most violent. He has the red flare in his hair. The teleportation.
He knew the real Judas. He knew the real Judas.
That's right. Yeah. I liked him teleporting around. I thought it's like the Undertaker, right? If you would have given Val Venus the Undertaker gimmick, he may have done something with it for a week or two, but he would not have had the career that Mark Calloway did. I don't know of very many people in the wrestling's history that could pull off what Matt Hardy does, but man, he does it and it's great. And him and Jericho, and I kind of like that they weren't holding microphones too. I like that they didn't just do that for the sake of doing it, because that's a wrestling trope. So actually, I thought that was actually really interesting on their part. But just the whole interaction was really fun, and I kind of hope he just says, "I'm magic." That was his response to something. "I'm magic. How did you teleport? I'm magic." I can't wait to see more of it. I think in front of a live crowd, it would have been great. But the fact that they're doing the cheesy stuff like the teleportation, from everything I've been told by the AEW cult fans who are just absolutely crazy, they can do no wrong. And these are the people that are now criticizing things just as I'm coming around to like it. So I don't really know. I think people just want to complain for the sake of complaining.
Well, and Aaron, you know, thank you, Robbie. Here's the negativity I see on this. Oh, the Broken Universe failed in TNA. It failed in WWE. It's not a draw. I don't think we're looking for this Broken Universe to be the draw of the show. We're just looking for it to be the sports entertainment, the sci-fi of the show, to break up the wrestling monotony.
Yes.
What do you think?
I agree. I like it because it adds something different to the show. And as you mentioned earlier, it did feel like a play. You mentioned Shakespeare. The only negative to me was that it did come off like two guys rehearsing for a play, but I still thought it was really cool. I love the Vanguard Jericho interaction there, and I think Matt Hardy and Jericho just played off each other so well that it was fun, and wrestling is supposed to be fun, and I was entertained, and guess what? I was forgetting about the world going crazy. So I got into that moment, I was entertained, and that's ultimately what AEW was trying to accomplish. Now, Adrian sent in a $2 super chat, says, "Stay safe, lads." You as well, Adrian. Thank you for tuning in. Ken Terminated by Google says, "Thank you, Meacham, for responding to my typing dog." He also said, "What do you guys think of Brody Lee being one of the best talkers of 2020 thus far?" I agree with you on that, Ken. I mean, it's only been 2 weeks, but I think Brody's just starting to really dig into what he can potentially do. So we'll see how that plays out. And Big G with a $2 super chat says, "This segment was wonderful." I agree.
Wonderful.
All right. So
question for Aaron, if I may, Virtue. Sorry to interrupt. Aaron, you and I started doing these crazy things, these crazy audio video shows just after TNA started, and Virtue said something that really caught my attention. The Matt Hardy stuff is the sports entertainment side, the non-wrestling side that we tune in for, the WWE is severely lacking in. I think the alternative that TNA presented in 2002 was it was straight up wrestling, and that's all it was. And when they tried to do the sports entertainment stuff, they fell flat on their ass. AEW is the Young Bucks 5-star matches with the Matt Hardy sports entertainment stuff, with the everything else mixed into it. I think they're doing a great job of that personally, and I think they're doing everything right that a TNA tried to do right when they even when they brought in Hogan or you know even before that. So I think they're hitting the mark.
Right, and
would you agree? Or
yeah, I mean ultimately it's good for AEW to be an alternative, and I think they are. And the thing is too, I feel like AEW is doing it well. They're taking things that people like and putting it on TV. The problem with WWE is things get shoved down our throats and people complain and WWE doesn't drop it. They're just stubborn about doing what they want to do. And the fans are going to, they're going to
take it. That's true. Because they ended the Nightmare Collective in AEW.
Yep.
Whereas that Lana and Rusev crap was like 8 months later, it finally ended. So,
and at least in the Dark Order, they addressed the bad punches, the missed punches. They said,
oh, that, for sure. Yeah.
But, and putting Brody Lee in there at least makes it interesting. It could have been somebody completely bad. You know what I mean?
Right. I look at it this way. It's like gas station spaghetti. If you take the gas station spaghetti that no one wants to eat, but you put some really fresh Parmesan cheese and some roasted garlic in it like Matt Hardy, it's edible. I still don't want to eat it, but if I have to, I'm at least glad it has a little bit of that extra seasoning, Brody Lee, Matt Hardy, whoever they ended up putting in there, which was Brody Lee, of course. But
AEW is the gas station spaghetti. WWE is more that gas station chicken sandwich. It's been there for a couple of days. Right.
Yeah. Or it's 1 a.m. and you're like, is it worth it? And you just
is it really worth it? Do I really want to die at this gas station right now? Like, really? You know, yeah.
Or you know, if you guys have seen the Simpsons episode with Apu getting fired where the hot dog falls on the ground and then he picks it up and puts it back on the rack. That's pretty much WWE. It's
exactly.
Dirty,
yeah.
Disgusting hot dog that looks appetizing, but then you eat it and realize, well, it sucks.
And it's been under the counter for 6 months.
Yeah. And
is my camera freezing more than everybody else's, or is it just me?
Yeah, it's been pretty bad, Jeff. But we're you know, this is
going to be massive shit in the chat room for it. So
yeah, it's been a little glitchy. We'll have to see if we can tweak that for future streams. Psycho Jet Black with a $2 super chat says wrestling should add more sci-fi and fantasy element. I agree. Look at Kane, Undertaker. Some of the best characters in wrestling have been, you know, comic book like, and that's what Matt Hardy is.
The Brood was the coolest thing of the Attitude Era before they spoke was the Brood.
Oh, Kayfabe Candy Ass is here. He says he gave up wrestling for Lent. That's why he hasn't been in the chat room much.
There you go.
So you gave up me too, Kayfabe, you son of a bitch.
Man.
Oh, and speaking of Apu, I miss him. I'm mad that The Simpsons got rid of him. I actually do still watch The Simpsons just to see what they're
up to. What did they do that for? Is it too politically incorrect?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But South Park keeps rolling on, right? They keep doing their thing.
Yeah, they do.
The difference is Fox is a multinational, publicly traded conglomerate. Comedy Central is what it is.
Yeah.
So,
Aaron, when are we doing the WrestleMania preview and predictions? Tuesday?
The plan was to do it on Tuesday. Oh, and by the way, there's somebody in here that doesn't like us said, what did he say? Now I can't even find the comment. I don't even know why I'm giving him attention. You know what? I'm not even going to give him attention, but he's like, we all suck and know nothing about wrestling. So
it's true.
There you go.
I'm a huge fraud.
Well, whoever that is, you're a mark.
I wonder who it is.
Mo Camera?
I don't care. Who cares? You know, who cares? Right. Especially if they didn't even do a super chat, who cares? But like WrestleMania, I mean, gosh, I'm just not super excited. We are about a little over a week away, and we're going to do our preview predictions, but I hope, does anybody here think WWE could have, during these two nights of, you know, event, whatever they're going to do, is there going to be one thing that, you know how at WrestleMania 30 had to have Brock beat Undertaker? Is there going to be one thing that happens from these tapings that could be like, oh my God, just to get attention? I guess we can talk about that during the preview predictions, but does anybody think, or is it just going to be vanilla as vanilla can be?
I think the Edge-Orton match has the most potential to have a shocking twist to it.
Interesting. Anybody else? Aaron? Yeah. Jeff?
I'm really only... Go ahead, Aaron.
I was just going to say, I feel like because it's taped, and like I mentioned earlier, I could see the title changes being delayed until later in the year once WWE is able to do shows with a crowd again. Adrian sent in a $2 super chat, says, Don't forget Waylon Mercy, Aaron, as far as fantasy characters go. Yeah.
You almost said super shit. That's right. There you go. That's exactly why you said that.
It was like a cult. I mean, you could have said he was just a park, you know, park creeper, pre-Bray Wyatt, like cult guy.
JR said it best. Danny Spivey, God bless him. He was so beat up by it and so just completely out of his damn mind. It was like, whatever, Danny, just go.
Early Mankind. Those vignettes to introduce Mankind.
A little bit. Okay.
But I thought, but you know, that was something different for Mick Foley.
Right.
Power Packers 90 sent in a $5 super chat. Thank you for that, Power Packers. Much appreciated. He says, WWE is like ordering a hamburger, but then shoving a big hot dog down your neck for 6 years.
That's a nice way to put it.
That's
with the big and dog emphasized. Keep that in mind.
There's a hot dog and it's getting shoved somewhere.
Shoving the big
dog.
All
these people that hate Roman Reigns, they don't watch his matches. When was the last time Braun Strowman was at his peak in WWE? When he worked a program with Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
Now look at Braun Strowman. Yeah. Exactly, Pete.
Psychojet Black
beat by Sami Zayn.
Super chat says, prediction, EC3 will not be on WrestleMania 36. Oh, man, why do you got to say that about poor EC3?
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
He's going to win. He's going to come out and accept the challenge and beat both champions for the titles.
There you go.
If there was a battle royal, that he'd probably win it.
Do you think they snuck Ronda Rousey down to the Performance Center for any of this? Do you think? No, nothing? I don't know.
Well, you know, they had a picture of her that came to Velasquez leaked, and Vince apparently lost his damn mind over it, so who knows?
You know, there's one thing that could potentially happen since WWE's taping the show. Maybe Goldberg and Roman Reigns will actually be like a 15-minute match because they could come out, do a couple minutes, rest, then do another 5 minutes, rest, and then just edit it all together. Then all of a sudden, Goldberg can work a 15-minute match. There you go.
I don't know if I'd want Roman to work that long with Goldberg in the ring. Hopefully, is there any injury report? See, if there's any injuries from these, we won't find out till afterwards because they won't want any spoilers.
Right.
That's all I got for this week. We covered. I mean, we've been on for almost 1 hour. Anybody else want to do a super chat or a question to Aaron in the comments? We'll stick around for a couple more minutes because this always happens when we go around and we start doing our plugs. The show continues. So I will go real slow. I will start with Robbie Vice. Go ahead and start your plugs.
Follow me on Twitter, guys, at NoDQVice. Banter with me. Tell me, am I the smartest guy in the room? I am. Spoiler alert. That's a Paul Heyman spoiler right there. And that's it. It was a fun conversation. And look, and hopefully we get a couple more super chats and questions so the show doesn't end early. But it was fun, guys.
Thank you, Robbie. Hey, and TGS, do your plugs. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh,
snap. You're not on the show. I'm waiting for an apology. Jeff Meacham, the West Coast professor. Go for it.
I meant to give Aaron a new screen capture for my screenshot, but I'll do that for next week's show. Tomorrow on Talk Wrestling, I'm going to do a hashtag Ask Meach Anything, where you guys can send in whatever you want to send in. By all means, send in questions. And also, I'm making a huge scheduling announcement and unveiling some new material tomorrow on the shows. So that'll be at the end of the show. So stay tuned for that. Next week, of course, Meach's Musings, Rest and Rewind with Greg and I. If we get it recorded this weekend, we're going to be doing the Iron Man match WrestleMania 12, which is another hour session, but better than a 4-hour one, right? And Talk Wrestling next week, and I'll be here with you guys doing WrestleMania predictions next week. Actually, also, next week.
Go ahead.
Next week, doing a live stream on Twitter and Instagram on Tuesday, different hours of the day. So be on the lookout. Yes, sir, Robbie.
When are you going to take back your Wrestling Trivia Challenge title?
I was just gonna say.
Well, it's I appreciate the sentiment behind that.
Are you conceding that Sherry is a better competitor than you and a better champion? Are you willing to say that live right now?
I am willing to say that live right now. Greg and I had an epic hour long encounter last week. Last year at WrestleMania season. Aaron hosted it, and we were all pretty exhausted after it was over, and we ended up going an hour, and he won. He beat me fair and square, and I fully endorse him as the champion, and we are currently trying to work out scheduling where he's available and the challenger's available. And with this COVID thing, it's going to happen a lot sooner than you think.
You need to coach his next challenger, though.
So he hasn't defended it in a year, so wouldn't it become vacant and he's got to win a tournament again? There's your idea. Howard Finkel.
I'm just saying.
Howard Finkel.
No, he's not. He's not.
That's the one guy that really gives Greg Cherry a great challenge. Well, besides,
there are some people in my circle of friends that I have told them to their face, you could give Greg a run for your money, and they're too much of a chicken shit to step up, so they just won't do it.
Gotcha.
So I tried.
Thank you for being on the review. Aaron, you got some super chats, and you can go ahead and close it before you pass it to me.
Well, I'll wait to close it here because we do have a few more topics to keep us on. So Keith Johnson with a $2 super chat. Thank you, Keith. He says, Benoit Darkside was sad. So was the Von Erichs. Yeah, the Von Erichs one is another one I would recommend checking out.
That one. Oh, that's right. I did see that one too. That was really good. I forgot about that one.
Yeah, that one. That one was also depressing. I mean, they all are because it's Dark Side of the Ring after all. It's not. Rainbows and butterflies and all that stuff.
Puppy dogs and smiley faces.
Ken terminated by Google with a $5 super chat. Thank you, Ken. He says, Kayfabe Candy Ass made a good point. Maybe WWE is saving Rousey for WrestleMania next year since Rousey is from LA, isn't she? She is. However, I think it comes down to her and when she wants to return. But yeah, I think that that would be tempting for her to do WrestleMania in her home state, her hometown. I could definitely see that as a possibility for next year. And when we go around here, we can get your guys' opinion on Rousey, like if you think that's a possibility. Psycho Jet Black with a $2 super chat says, who would win in a street fight, TJS or Jeff Meacham?
It says fist fight, so the answer is me.
Yeah, probably, although maybe TJS is younger and that might give him a little bit more stamina. I don't know. But I think Jeff would probably win. Jeff can throw a good punch.
If it goes any length of time, my ass is slogging down and I'm passing out from exhaustion. But in a fist fight,
the only way TGS would win is if he was a luggage compartment on an airplane.
Exactly.
Ooh. Which he's not. So I go Jeff.
All right. Mike D sent in a $5 super chat. Thank you, Mike D. He says, what would happen if all the wrestlers went on strike and did not do WrestleMania? Because rumors are all the wrestlers are not happy at all.
AEW presents WrestleMania.
WWE would not be in a good position, obviously, but it's highly unlikely. Like, because one guy could do it and then he is no longer used again. There's always going to be guys that will be willing to step up and work for WWE. So if you don't do your job, next they just bring in a new guy, you know. I don't think all of them would get together and do that, you know. Even think about the Montreal Screwjob. So many people were pissed about Brett getting screwed. And yes, Mick Foley did sit out Raw, but he came back the next night for the Raw taping on Tuesday. So all these guys that said, I'm not working for Vince anymore. I'm done with this. I'm siding by Brett. Rick Rude left and Mick Foley took a night off. But other than that, everyone pretty much showed up to work. Crush left, but who gives a shit about Crush? No. All due respect, R.I.P. Crush. But,
Extreme Mayhem does.
Yeah, there you go. He wasn't even on that.
He's away, so, yeah.
All right, so 200.
Rest in peace, Brian.
200 whatever from TR Sega to the panel. Who is the cutest female wrestler? We'll go around, then I'll read the other super chat. So, Virtue, anything I just said you want to add to and cutest female wrestler?
Kairi Sane. I'm going to say it three times because that's who it is.
All right, Robbie.
Alexa Bliss.
I agree. Not a bad answer. Jeff, what do you think?
Alexa Bliss, no question of that.
Already with a $2 super chat. Nice.
And I froze, of course, so I look like a complete douchebag and a creepo there.
Remember that one stream where you just froze and it was just your face was there frozen and you had disappeared?
Yeah. That was awful.
Already with a $2 super chat says, nice to see you guys live. Well, thank you very much for that, Already. We do appreciate that.
No one's sneezing and coughing either.
Yeah. And remember, if you guys do have to cough into your arm. Do not pull a Joe Biden and cough like this. Especially dumbass. After you say you have no symptoms of the coronavirus, and then you proceed to right. cough into your hand. Big G with a $5 super chat. And Michael Wayne agrees, Alexa Bliss. Big G with a $5 super chat says, that was a burn TGS, might need some tissues after that. Well, there you go, Big G.
Or some staff for the burn, yeah, well, geez.
Was, yeah, I guess I did nothing wrong to TGS. Well, he'll probably share all screenshots publicly. Oh, wait, I just said what he did wrong.
Whoa. This is
like good. I said, look, a simple apology, and we can probably mend fences, and I'll work you back onto the show, TGS. I don't have anything personal against you, but I'm just saying, you know, sometimes you hit bumps in the road with people. We just got to work those bumps out, bro.
And if worse comes to worse, we could always do a match between you guys at an ODQ meetup. But that depends on COVID-19 and if we can actually do a public gathering before the end of 2020.
You know, I had a chance to look back at the last match we had between somebody else and I, WrestleMania weekend, and I took a few too many blows to the head that weekend. That explains a lot of things now, 15 years later. Let's not do that.
Yeah, good point, good point.
Just saying, just saying.
Greg Cherry said he'll referee.
What's
that's
that?
All I got.
Greg Cherry said he will referee if this match takes place.
As long as Greg Cherry referees and keeps the vinyl records and other things out of people's hands, we're in good shape.
All right. So anyways, guys, make sure you stay tuned to NoDQ.com for the very latest. I'll be back Friday night for SmackDown discussion. Check out the best and worst WrestleMania videos that I've been posting. I did the live stream on Sunday, but I pulled the video and I've been editing them and I'm re-uploading and I'm rearranging. I made a playlist to do my order properly. I really wasn't pleased with how I did it. Mike D with a $2 super chat says, TJS versus Jeff... Oh, wait a minute. Big G said he'll be the special enforcer. Mike D with the $2 super chat says TGS versus Jeff in a bathroom match. How would that
I
work?
I hope
exactly?
he means like Benoit Kevin Sullivan style, because otherwise it's creepy.
Yeah, is this like who can have the biggest poop or something? Maybe Vince would like
well, I win that one too. So yeah, that's it. I win that one too. So either way,
I win. Are you sure?
No, I don't want to be sure, honestly.
Okay, then. Fair enough. All right.
How did TGS become such a big discussion? Aaron, anything left?
I have no idea.
I don't know. The Virtue's mad because TGS has gotten way too much airtime on this live stream. Thankfully, we're at the end here, so people tuning out, they're like, you know, all right, I heard enough. Next week, we'll be back to normal. Anyways, that's all I have for tonight. Yeah. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Hope you are entertained by all the shenanigans tonight. Kayfabe Candy ass says poop on a pole match. Well,
that's why I laughed. I'm glad somebody else saw besides me.
Vince Russo would approve, right, Virtue?
That's right. Russo approved of that stuff, even. There you go.
There you go. There's a WCW 2000 slam. Now we're officially ready to close the video. So is it on me?
It's on you, brother.
It's all on right. you, sir.
I am Virtue. You control with me on Twitter. You may like 100 tweets of mine in a row, but I will guarantee you I will piss you off at some point. At NoDQ_Virtue. You know, on video, I've always been respectful to people. You get a different Virtue on Twitter. So if you want to go hardcore, go to Twitter at NoDQ_Virtue. That's all I got. This has been the NoDQ Review 88. This is the panel, Robbie Vice, Jeff Meacham, and Aaron Rift. And even for San Goshiku, Big G. I think that's it, right? Am I forgetting anybody? Yeah. Who else has been on the panel? El Virtuoso, Vito.
Stephen Osborne.
Who?
Stephen Osborne.
That's right. Greg Cherry. Thanks for watching. Hey, we'll see you next time.